You're listening to The MemoCast, brought to you by Wreck-It Magazine.
Hello, welcome to the MemoCast, episode 5, Revenge of the Ellipses, because I don't really know what to put there. Mike is not here at the moment, he may or may not come, we'll figure that out later. So I guess I have a special co-host, Miss always like to say it like finesse, Glynis, but it's Glynis.
Glynis. It's all good.
And so,
it all works.
I guess for this episode, the abbreviation instead of being Nemo would be Mogul.
Okay.
The Mogul cast. All right. So if that out of the way, we're going to go into newsworthy notes and then a couple other things. So lots of stuff going on. Some of it comic book related, some of it not so much. Going to lead off with the non-comic book, and that is Six Flags, located in Valencia, California, I believe. Don't know where, doesn't matter. Announced that they're shutting down the coaster of all coasters, Colossus, August 16th. Shuts down, and we're saying this in the pre-show, is that you cannot call yourself a comic book fan if you do not ride Colossus before it shuts down. So if you haven't, get on it. If you've already, if you've been there, haven't been recently, get on it. You'll never be able to do it again. So, boom. Next up is a Meltdown comedy show, which takes place at the back of Meltdown Comics every Wednesday night. They filmed the first season for a TV show for Comedy Central. That's finally got an air date coming out July 23rd. So the week of Comic-Con, how convenient. It comes out like right before Comic-Con. So that's going on. Charlie Cox has been announced as the star of the upcoming Daredevil Netflix show for Marvel Studios. Looks to be really fantastic. Super exciting. We're talking about this. The Marvel 100-year anniversary. Marvel, for their 75th anniversary, is celebrating 100 years. So they're going into the future 25 years of an awesome interlocking cover and just telling stories of what the Marvel Universe could look like in 25 years from now. Should be interesting. Speaking of stuff owned by Disney, Star Wars announced two new additions to the cast. You have Lupita Nyong'o and Gwen Christie, the latter of which from Game of Thrones, Bran of Tarth, are now in episode 7. So it's nice to see more ladies on the cast, you know, especially a lady of color. Really badass, really awesome. And now that brings us to the actual more comic related stuff. So, Metalhead makes his debut in the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic, actually this past Wednesday. Have yet to read it, but I'm going to buy it right now, and I'll let you know later on in a blog of sorts. And finally, and this is kind of a good segue into our guest for the day, is so DC launching their bombshell covers for the entire month of June. Three of them just came out. The first three, Earth 2, Green Lantern, and Action Comics, they're all gorgeous. And so there's going to be some coming out through all the whole week. And like I said, Glynis right here is the owner of a comic book store, which is kind of how it all comes together. So
good segue.
Yes. Excellent segues. We totally didn't plan that. But so tell the people listening a little bit about yourself and the Hideout.
I'm the owner of Comic Book Hideout in Fullerton, California. We're located at 215 West Commonwealth Avenue in Fullerton, right next to the police station. We are currently best comic book store in Orange County.
2013
for OC Weekly. And we're in the running for best comic book store in Orange County again for 2014 for the OC Register.
Okay.
So that you can vote for that on our Facebook,
all right.
Comic Book Hideout. And we are a comic book store that doesn't just do comics. I do a little bit of everything. Yeah. We have events going on. We just had an art show last night.
We
do a monthly art show every month with a full gallery with local artists. Yeah. This month is Blake Armstrong, who is the artist behind the Jester's Curse comic and also did art for In Flames, the band stuff. And all of his original art is up in the Hideout, and prints are, and comics are available.
Yes, and we're actually recording here in the Hideout, and so I'm able to see a lot of this first person. I unfortunately couldn't make the art show because of my actual job, but it's beautiful. You have Back to the Future, Spaceballs, Ghostbusters, Superman. There's a Batman suit just chilling here that we have to move, and it's awesome. So, you know, this for me is like knowing that I missed out, and this is a bummer, but knowing that this is the kind of level of event you bring month to month is really amazing. And you don't just do art shows. You're actually now doing, what is this, a comedy show coming up?
I have a comedy show on Thursday. It'll be the first comedy show for this location.
Yeah.
We moved here in last August, so this location is our second, and it's three times as big as what we started with. So we've got a comedy show on Thursday. We do game night every Wednesday, which is a BYOB, bring your own game, bring your own beer, and we hang out and drink and play board games, tabletop stuff.
Yes.
We have Friday Night Magic every Friday, so those are every week we have that stuff going on. And then I've got bands playing at least two times a month. This month we've got a Porsche 911 night, is a zine fest that I do second Saturday of the month, and that has local bands playing every week.
Yeah.
And then I also have bands coming from out of town playing on the 28th, Villages and Sunset Pilgrims.
All right, cool. Where are they coming from?
You know, my employee Tim booked them. They're,
so you have no idea. You don't know.
I don't know where they're coming from. But they actually sound pretty awesome, and it should be a really fun show.
Yeah. Well, in the description for this episode, I will make sure to put links so you can check out their music, so just so you know, and hopefully come out to the 28th of June.
Yeah, 28th is Villages and Sunset Pilgrims, and then Porsche 911 night is the 14th, and they'll have three bands at least playing for that.
Yeah, so lots of stuff coming up. And so I decided to have this lovely lady with me on the show here, not only just talk about the hideout, which is a fun place to be, but also because she has a project she's been working on. And so give the listeners a brief little intro for the project before we go into our musical break, and then we'll really get into depth about it when we come back.
Awesome. Well, the comics program, which is Captivating Our Miners' Imaginations, Creating Solutions, is a versatile program designed to engage youth in introspective reflection and help to identify with more positive and heroic self-image. In teaching the core concepts of the heroic and villainous archetypes, the hero's journey, and the basic story structure, our students can have a better understanding of the rewards and consequences of their actions and decisions. Using the comic book medium to express their thoughts and feelings, miners can captivate their imaginations in a fun, fresh form. Within the cathartic nature of creating and writing, creative writing and art, the energetic and youthful palette of comic books gives students the ability to dynamically express themselves while maintaining a level of playful entertainment.
Yeah. Now that is a mouthful. And so before we can get any deeper, we've just thrown a lot of information at you. We're going to enjoy ourselves a little song. So for this first musical break, we're going to play a track by Laura Stevenson. This song is called Halloween's Part 1 and 2, and despite the beautiful nature of the song, it is actually about the horror films Halloween, you know, 1 and 2. So we're going to go with that, and when we get back from that song, we are really going to like dig deep on this, talk about a few other things, and have a little fun. All right, so stick with us, and we'll be back in a second.
I
All right, we're back. That was a song by Laura Stevenson, and here we are with Glynis. And so she briefly mentioned her her little program where she's helping different children from different walks of life create comic books. So now we're really going to get into the meat and potatoes of it, you know. Or at least the potatoes. Mom doesn't eat meat, but that's for another story. So why did you start doing this?
It's a program that I had had an idea about a long time ago when I was teaching at a couple different facilities. I kind of have a guerrilla teaching experience, I like to call it, because it's all through experiences and real life teaching that I've done, not necessarily through mainstream education. Yeah. So I got accepted for my master's and my teaching credential at Cal State Long Beach.
Yeah.
And I ended up changing my mind, not wanting to do that, and doing something completely different. Am I touching the mic?
Yeah, you're fine. No. Yeah. Just don't touch the table.
Don't touch the table. Sorry. So I thought of this idea of getting kids to create their own comic book when I was working at Mega Study, which is a private after-school academy. And I really liked the concept of getting kids to be their own hero. Mm-hmm. And like, if you were, like when I was growing up, if we were superheroes, what would our powers be? Yeah. And like the fun of creating a hero and creating yourself into like your ideal image of yourself, you know?
Yeah. I feel like every comic book reader at some point or another has done that or will do that or does that very constantly. And I think we even talked about it like the other day, like, what power would you have if you wanted to like have something for like a practical everyday to day use?
Yeah.
And so it was funny because I said like, oh, I want like metallic skin, like kind of like Colossus. And you were like, well, what good is that? And that could be like 15 different like practical things they could do, like bodyguard, police officer, you know, firefighter, like, you know, demolition thing.
Yeah,
so it's
actually really
cool that, you know, kids are being engaged in that way. And so...
Well, so what I thought about the program just in a fun way like that, and I was actually approached by Jermaine Delgado, who's a deputy at the Juvenile Corrections Center here in Orange County. And he had sent me an email just asking for donations, like, hey, I want to get some of the kids that I work with in my unit comic books to read.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about doing a program for them or something for them to create their own comics. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, you need to call me immediately. And we sat down and had a meeting, and he kind of explained that, you know, these kids are stuck in juvie and they're not, you know, they're not necessarily using their brains to the full potential. They're doing regular school, like high school curriculum. But he wanted to bring something fun and new and different for them. And it really struck a chord with me because, to me, reading comics is such a big part of my growing up and like who I am as a person, and obviously owning a comic book store, it's a big part of my life. But it's something that's becoming more mainstream and more acceptable socially. And so kids nowadays, with the awesome Marvel movies coming out, you know, Batman's always been a huge pull for DC, but making comics more mainstream and getting them to be more accessible is really helping a different demographic.
Oh, yeah.
So what we had come up with is, I got so excited talking to him about this. I was just like, we could use, you know, Joseph Campbell's A Hero's Journey, and we can talk about heroes and villains, and we can, you know, I got so overwhelmed and excited about the idea of this that I went home that night or went into my office that night and wrote a 12-week program for the kids. Just busted it all out.
You poured the coffee and went ballistic.
Yeah. So what I came up with was not only a program that's for fun, for kids to create their own comics and create their own heroes and tell their own stories, but it's also something that I teach the heroic archetype, the villainous archetype.
Yeah.
I teach about your shadow self, the hero's journey and the path that, you know, all story structure is based on.
Yeah.
And then I use that in creating decision making for youths, right?
Yeah.
So the juvenile hall, I've taught two classes. And these kids are, the unit that I worked with was a violent crimes unit.
Okay.
So they were like, you know, the worst of the worst, for lack of a better word. And the whole point of the course is to instill a more positive self-image.
Yeah.
You are the hero of your own story. You are creating the path that you're on, right? So these kids are already villainized because they're in the system. They're already, you know, a lot of, almost all of the kids were in there for gang-related stuff. And so I'm digging into the idea of what it means to be a hero, what it means to be a villain, what it means to make good decisions and to know the consequences of your actions.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that all in the, with, you know, the guise of comics and using
comics.
Using the comic book world, right? Yeah.
And, well, I like that concept because it really helps them dig internally to kind of change their own mentalities on how they might view morality.
Right.
Which is really good. And I noticed that you have some rules in there. Like, for example, what is it, like, no guns is part of it?
Oh, I try not to limit the kids too much, but in the juvenile hall, because I teach it in other facilities with other different demographics of kids, but I do no gang affiliations, okay. So they're not allowed to use, sorry, I touched the table.
Yeah.
So they're not allowed to use, any gang references because
yeah.
That's them trying to make a statement that's taking away from
yeah.
what we're actually doing. In
yeah,
art.
And it's kind of meant like as a means for her rehabilitation, so if they're kind of bringing that negative aspect into their life, into their new future, they're not really going to go anywhere.
Right.
It's understandable. So you said you're working on this and doing this at other locations. So what other locations or like what other venues are you doing this?
So I'm set up to do another course at the juvenile hall working with the girls unit,
yeah.
which is going to be a whole different flavor of stuff. So I'm really excited to do that. I'm also starting to do this as a short, or I guess I would say a squashed down version for junior high age kids over at the Anaheim Hills Public
yeah.
Library. So I'm doing that rather than an 8-week program, which is what I'm doing at the juvenile hall.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 4 weeks, but 3 hours per class.
Yeah.
So that's going to be starting June 19th. It's a Thursday. It's going to be every Thursday or 4 sequential Thursdays
yeah.
in June and July. From 1:30 to 3:30,
yeah,
I think.
It's not bad.
At the Anaheim Hills Public Library.
Yeah.
I'm also in talks with Fullerton Boys and Girls Club,
okay.
Fullerton Library, and Servite High School.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what's going on with those ones yet, but the possibility is there, and they love the program, and they think that it's really awesome and want to fit it into their curriculum.
Yeah.
So.
No, yeah. So you essentially have been, for the most part, working with boys, is that correct?
For my two classes that I've done so far, I've done with boys at the juvenile hall.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the girls unit is my next class, and that's
yeah.
going to be really interesting to see the difference in dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because they're already in the prison system, the emphasis is going to be on, you know, female empowerment,
mm-hmm.
making sure that these girls can know that they're the hero, that they, you know, because a lot of girls in this kind of situation are victims of, you know, domestic abuse, sexual abuse,
yeah.
Gang-affiliated violence, and things like that. So
well, okay.
it's taking the basics of the course and then curtailing it to what the dynamic is.
Yeah.
So because I've created a program that is versatile,
mm-hmm.
it can be used in any different setting, and I like to visualize it as it being tilted one way for a different
yeah.
crowd. So the girls unit, I'll teach it a little bit different than I'll teach the boys
yeah.
unit. The library, I'm going to teach it different than I teach at the juvie.
Because that one will be a co-ed one.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And the age demographic will be different too. So
yeah,
it's
a little bit younger. Correct?
Yeah. I have different levels of comprehension
yeah.
that I'm working with.
All right.
And I've got different versions of the program for each different dynamic.
Yeah.
So ultimately, what I would love to see, and this is, you know, far down the line, is for the program to be a replacement for the DARE program.
Yeah.
Because I guess they don't do DARE in school.
Well,
anymore.
I think one of the reasons why they don't do DARE is I think that they took like a study and showed that it didn't really affect drug or violence usage as much, so the state just stopped putting money into it.
Right.
You know?
So something like that, like I remember DARE program when I was a kid and I didn't really strike a chord with me. It didn't
yeah.
really... We didn't really care.
Yeah. You know what I feel like the problem with the DARE program was? Is that it was very, like, black and white, and it kind of talked down to, like, the kids. Like,
yeah.
to an extent, like, drugs are bad, this is bad, don't ask questions, really. You didn't really, like, learn anything. You were just told a bunch of stuff. I feel like with this kind of program, it's more engaging. You're learning not only about, like, how you... like about yourself, about how you present yourself, mm-hmm. and like how like your choices really are bigger than what you might think they are.
Right.
So it's a bit more engaging and less condescending and really more informative. Yeah.
And it's fun too. Like the best way to teach something is to have the kids not know that they're being taught something.
Oh yeah. You
so know. This program is designed for basically for making decisions. It's a decision. Yeah. It's to get kids to make healthy decisions, not only based on like a cultural morality of like this is wrong, this is right, but to know that there's a I call it the fine line, mm-hmm. the fine line between. An action that is heroic or could potentially be villainous.
Yeah.
So in everything that you do, no matter if it be if it be something small, like, you know, jaywalking or doing something that is seemingly meaningless, right?
Yeah.
But everything that you do matters. And a lot of times kids don't feel like what they do matters or what they do is important. Mm-hmm. And just instilling a sense of, you know, personal integrity, like what you do is important, what you do matters and changes the world, whether or not it's something little or something big, whether or not it's something that you do intentionally or not.
Yeah.
But it gets kids to think about what they do before they do it.
Yeah.
Thinking about your actions before you take them and thinking about the consequences of it. You know, as a kid, no one wants to think about the consequences of stuff. No one wants to think like, oh, well, I got a D in math, so I'm never going to go to college.
Yeah, like, you're not thinking that far ahead as a kid. So this is like for whatever walk of life these kids coming from, it's really good to help them have some personal growth and become better decision makers, which is never a bad thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it makes me sound so old, but...
you're not that old.
Nowadays, kids are growing up on the internet. Like, I remember the internet, like, happened when I was in, like, junior high or high school, right?
Dial-up.
Like, Yeah. And so it wasn't, like, I didn't have a cell phone until I was, like, halfway through high school.
Yeah.
And now these kids are just, you know, interwoven with technology completely.
Like, the cell phones we have right now, for, like, data usage, are faster than the computers we would do everything on, like, when the internet was first popping.
Exactly.
So it's just, it's nuts to see how that kind of culture developed.
And what I think that has a effect on is... interpersonal relationships, right? Interpersonal skills, like kids talking to their families and their parents and their friends and everyone talking face-to-face and interacting with each other. But also, it's the consequences of things are changed, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you go out late and you don't come home, like, for curfew or whatever, if kids even have curfew anymore.
There is still a legal curfew. It varies, but usually it's around 10 or 11, depending on the day and the area.
But I mean, like, at home.
Oh, yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean? I feel like the accountability is a little bit lessened on kids these days.
Yeah.
There's not as much...
Parents are soft.
Yeah, the parents have gone soft, and they haven't, you know, on a mass, I'm not talking about everyone, but I'm just saying, like, in general, in the kids that I interact with every day, like, in my store and in my classes and things, they don't really have this sense of... A, that they are important and have meaning and value as a person, and B, that, you know, what they're doing is influential on everybody else. So I kind of got lost in my own thoughts there for a minute. But the internet, I feel like, has made parents lazy, and I want to get kids back to a place where they know that they're important and that the decisions that they make matter and that they affect the people around them.
Yeah, most definitely. All right, well, you know what? The program sounds awesome. I feel like maybe we'll come back in a couple of weeks, see how the class of the ladies is done, see how that went. I'm curious to see how that goes, to get feedback, so you can even really, because I know you're expecting it to be different, but I would love to hear the differences from like a sociological perspective. Like, hey, this is, you know, this, a lot of this happened in the boys group, a lot of this happened in the girls group, here's kind of where they overlap. And so if that, do you have any final statements on anything you want people to know about this program before we go into a little bit more lighthearted subject material for the rest of this segment?
I don't know if I touched on it before, but I do have a version of the program that's for special ed and special education needs.
But you did not go over that.
And I have a whole section of it that it would be fantastic for, you know, autism and, you know, some sorts of special needs, developing better and more positive self-image.
Yeah.
So that's just another thing that we can put on that one.
Sounds good. All right. Well, so we've got a little bit more time left in this segment. So let's. You were talking about Marvel movies and how things have gotten a little more positive. Some director news going on with both the Ant-Man movie and Doctor Strange. So let's talk about Ant-Man. A lot of stuff has been going on. Edgar Wright, who has been with this project since 2006, left about two and a half weeks ago. And for a while, there was talk of, I think, Adam McKay replacing him. And finally, they have settled on a director, and that is Peyton Reed. And so we're looking at Peyton Reed's Wikipedia page. And so Reed is most, I guess, as far as, like, iconic films, most known for Bring It On, you know, with Kirsten Dunst. And but there were other projects like the what was it, the making of Forrest Gump.
Yeah, his resume seems a
little out there.
Very interesting,
but I like it.
The stuff that he has on there is not necessarily related. Yeah. But
you know what? I feel like that even though I feel like Edgar Wright might have been the perfect director for this project, I still feel like this Reed is still an adequate replacement. You know, like the Mr. Show episodes shows me that there's a level of comedy prowess. I don't know if you ever watched Mr. Show with David. Okay, so you know, like that takes a lot of skill and finesse to really get that comedy down. So that should really help, especially because I know all the Marvel movies have a bit of comedy to it, but apparently this one's supposed to have a lot more than the rest.
Awesome.
You know, and
and we had to make sure that it was known that it was not Hank Pym Ant-Man.
It's Scott Lang. Because spousal abuse, you can't really make that funny. And
I laugh about it. Right?
Yeah, to be honest, Scott Lang, out of all the Ant-Men, always, to me, felt like the most charismatic or the most entertaining one.
The more fun. He's definitely the more fun Ant-Man. Hank is the more serious, science-y,
almost a little
jerky.
Boring. Yeah.
Guy, so
yeah, we know Scott Lang came into the whole suit trying to help his daughter, and so that, you know, despite having less than well-intentioned means for the suit overall, like the end game was I have to help my daughter. You know, which is really cool, so definitely love to see that going on. Hopefully Peyton Reed does really well with it. Doctor Strange also got a director, and I actually mixed them up earlier, but yeah, this with Scott Derrickson. And so Scott Derrickson's projects, some of the bigger ones include the Last Exorcism of Emily Rose, or like the Exorcism of Emily Rose, whatever the full title is, and Sinister. So clearly Marvel for this film is going with the way darker approach, which should be really interesting to see how that plays just into the Avengers universe as a whole.
I'm really excited. They dropped Doc Strange's name in the last
Captain America
movie, and I got super excited. So
yeah, no, it was super nuts, and some people even missed it, which I thought was funny. Because I was talking to a friend, and I was like, we're talking about like Doctor Strange. They're talking to Jasper Sitwell and talk like on the rooftop. Spoiler, if you haven't seen it, like, I don't know what you're doing yourself. But when they're talking and they go, like, hey, just to help us get rid of, like, people who, like, problematic enemies, like, Nick Fury or Stephen Strange, and then, like, everybody who knows who Doctor Strange is was like, ah!
Yeah, you know? I was really stoked on it. I love stuff like that because it's really playing to the audience.
Yeah, well, but it also shows that Marvel's really doing a lot of groundwork when it comes to these movies. Like, they're
solidifying the universe as a whole. And I think that we really see that in S.H.I.E.L.D., how they've really, like, tied it up with a big pretty bow. All of the Marvel universe is collective, together, is all... Yeah.
And Marvel's always kind of been big on that, at least more so in recent years, of, like, the whole, like, combined continuity.
Yes.
Even, especially in the books, even if it gets a little too much of the amount of crossovers they tend to have as of late, I feel like every time, like, a crossover is done, a new one has already started, like, in the midst of it. And I'm like, you guys...
Well, that's kind of how the industry works. And I feel like it's one of the things that gets to be a little bit annoying, but it's also one of the things that moves books really well.
Oh, yeah.
So
it definitely moves books. But you know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes it feels a little bit overwhelming, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like... I'm not saying that they shouldn't do it as often, but maybe, like, give us, like, a little breathing room. Like, you know, maybe not, like, a long time, but I feel like it's, like...
It's usually a summer thing where they do the big summer book.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, what they did with AVX and with...
Right now, Original Sin.
Yeah, well, Original Sin is pretty much the big summer book, so...
Yeah.
Like, they always have that.
Yeah.
You know.
Speaking of which, have you kept up with Original Sin at all? Like, are you reading that?
Unfortunately, Original Sin has gotten so far beyond me, and it's only on, like, the third issue that I'm not current. I have to sit down. I don't get a lot of time to, like, sit and read in bulk. I just, like, get all the issues on the new day and kind of have them pile up in my office, and then I have to take a day off where I can, like, sit and catch up
on everything. Yeah, no, I need to, I'm, like, so many books I have to get caught up on. I have a lot of DC books. I still have to get Justice League United because I'm a big Animal Man fan, and so that's where he's at now.
Yeah, because he doesn't have his own...
Well, yeah. It ended, but, you know, Lemire was saying, like, that he did everything he wanted to with the character, you know, which is good.
I thought it was nicely done. It was tied up.
Oh, yeah, I love that book. Like, from the beginning to end, at no point did I ever feel like the story wavered.
Right.
You know, which was
very clear what he was trying to go for, and I think he did a great job.
You know, plus, you know, like, Animal Man is one of the very few. He might even be, like, the only, like, real, like, hero in the DC universe that's, like, a family person, you know? Like, everyone is, like, single now. It's, like, the new 52. Let's make everybody single. That was, like, the ultimate goal. Is to, you know, like, they even broke up, like, the big, you know, Lois Lane Superman relationship. And I'm just like...
Yeah, well, you know. I mean... Mallrat said it best.
Yeah.
Lois wouldn't be able to handle Superman's babies.
You know what's funny is I don't know, like, if I could argue that.
It would take a womb like Wonder Woman.
Yeah, but the problem is that in bearing the child, because isn't it like Wonder Woman's powers are like if she were to get married in theory, wouldn't that like affect her powers to an extent? I forget. I was reading that somewhere. I might be mistaken.
You, not that I know of. I mean, if you're talking about current Wonder Woman in the New 52, her own storyline, she's currently the God of War.
Yeah.
And she's ruling over the Amazons and saving the world and Olympus from Firstborn.
Okay.
So she's busy. She got her own shit going on. But in Wonder Woman, outside of that, is doing, she's in the Wonder Woman Superman book, and she's also in all the Justice League titles and all that.
Well,
so,
you know,
she's, that Wonder Woman, I feel like, is almost a completely different character than that's in her current
Personally, book. For me, when I read these books, and I'm a little bit behind on all three of those, I'm behind on everything DC related, sorry DC.
I'm for sure caught up on all the single Wonder Woman
They're written by different people, but the sad part is that it's extremely noticeable, you know?
Yeah, I feel like, I've started reading the Wonder Woman Superman stuff, and it was coherent with the other storylines, and it wasn't coherent with the regular Wonder Woman title, and I was just kind of like, I don't really know what, like, how to feel about it. I didn't really feel like Diana was as badass as
she doesn't feel like she's Diana. And I think Brian Azzarello was like, they're doing their own thing.
You know what? I'm totally fine with that. Brian is doing a great job. The interior artwork is freaking amazing. Cover art's amazing, and the story is solid.
Yeah,
they're ramping it up right now because the next issue is gonna be. I mean, I hope the next issue is gonna be the big battle, and it's gonna be Amazons versus gods, and you know,
it's gonna be nuts.
Firstborn is killing off people. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, the reason why I feel like it's slightly a bit of a bummer, not so much from Brian Azzarello as a writer, but from the other two books going on, is that where you see you have like how many Bat books do we have in Batman, and Batman is consistently Batman.
Well, Batman's such an easy character. He's so iconic, and he's been around for so long. I feel like Diana really got a revamp when they did the New 52.
But you know what I'm saying? I feel bummed out by that lack of consistency that, you know, Diana isn't Diana, like, or the same Diana in all three of these books, whereas Bruce is Bruce in, like, however 40 many books he's in.
I feel like Brian Azzarello really brought her back to life with the New 52, and I feel like Wonder Woman has been such a stagnant character and has been just kind of blasé for so long that it wasn't until her new single title for the New 52 that she really just got her groove back.
Yeah. No.
You know, like,
no, I get you.
She's badass again, and she actually has a character. She has morality and rules, and she's got herself, you know, a crew, and she stands for something, and it's very... She's got a character. She's full. Yeah. She's
no, like, full, I'm not even, like, dissing his interpretation of her. Like,
no,
I love
saying
his,
the other titles are not using that.
Yeah, which
they're,
is
they're
that,
not using
that's
her as
why
a queer character.
And that's
they're
why I'm
using,
disappointed.
They're using her as a as an object or as, you know,
yeah.
this filler of like, oh yeah, well she's a chick and she's badass.
Or she's or her she's dating Superman. Or,
yeah.
You know.
They're not using, and I have this conversation in a separate podcast when I was talking about chicks in comics and, you know, female identification with comic book characters and all that stuff. But
yeah.
that's a big bag of worms for another time.
Oh yeah, no, we're actually this segment we're about to wrap it up right now because there's so much to talk about, and like so we'll have to have you back on again and really like get into it now that we've kind of gotten through the whole program. Like next time we have you on, we gotta like go into like super big like comic book heavy debates. So we're gonna take another musical break. You know, we're gonna play a song by Max Bemis. I'm not sure which one yet. I do know that the song comes from his comic book series Polarity, where at the end of each issue is a download code to download an acoustic song. So I don't know which one yet. Maybe the one from issue 3. The title escapes me at the moment, but I think that's the one we're gonna go with. And you were even talking about this Lumberjanes earlier, because I haven't yet to read that series, but that's like a must start one. They have like
a
mixtape
at
the end.
I love Lumberjanes. Lumberjanes is put out by Boom.
Yes,
they're on issue 2, and each issue has a mix in the back.
Yeah,
and it's a super chicky. Like kind of throwbacky stuff. Like
yeah.
there's a lot of really good stuff for girls like me that that love comics. And
well, for issue 2, what are some of the songs on this mix?
For some of the songs on the issue 2 mix are, I know that they've got a Josie and the Pussycats song on which I love, and I actually have the mix right here. It on the back of the comic, it shows the little playlist and like. What songs are on it
yeah,
and everything.
Now, does it just tell you just so you can make it, or is it on Spotify? Or
it tells you so you can make it yourself.
Okay.
So we've got Vivi Brown, X-Ray Specs, The Gossips, Bikini Kill, Letters to Cleo, Josie and the Pussycats, The Ting Tings, Sleigh Bells, Slater Kinney, Plumtree, Fleetwood Mac.
That's nice.
Yeah, Best Coast. Tegan and Sarah. It's very like
it's all
chick
encompassing.
Rock,
yeah.
You know, but it's got a big. They've got Against Me on there.
Which song?
Paramore. On the FM waves.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so they've got some old stuff. They've got some new stuff. They've got some, like, more punky stuff. They've
yeah.
got some more mellow
it's
stuff.
Just, it's all across the board.
It's all across the board, like, awesome chick music.
Yeah.
It's like friendship mixes, like,
yeah.
that I used to make.
Yeah,
know?
No, I feel like I should read Lumberjanes just for these mixes.
Honestly,
well, besides the fact that it's a good story. Like, I have yet to hear anyone say anything bad about it.
Yeah, they put the Buffy the Vampire Slayer theme on the first mix, and
yeah.
it's like my childhood all over again. It's really awesome. It's
yeah.
like, this is exactly what I needed when I was in junior high or high school.
Yeah.
So, Lumberjanes, and now it's a full series. They were going to do it as a mini,
yeah.
but people liked
doing
it so much
well.
That they're doing it as a continuing series.
That's awesome. So, we're going to go listen to Max Bemis, and then we'll be right back. So, keep it here with the Mogul Cast for today, and also enjoy a word from our sponsors, Witch Witch and Mountain Dew Baja
Blast.
The truth comes out. It seems that I've been manipulated. By something greater than me, and everything I ever thought was good inside of me is only false. The truth comes out. The truth comes out. Parents are my tormentors. My love is my serpent. Now I thought I reversed it all. It's coming back again. Right. The truth comes out. creature comes out. But I'm gonna fight back. Reverse the war, reverse the roles. And I will make savage. Reverse the walls, reverse the walls. The truth comes out. Truth comes out. The truth comes out.
Okay, so that was track from Max Bemis. Good stuff. Love the man. And speaking of Max, Say Anything has a new record coming out like tomorrow, Tuesday. And so I don't, like, if, for those of you who want to listen to it now, it's actually streaming on Spotify, so.
Yeah, I actually heard the first track of it on Sirius.
Hey, do you remember which song it was?
Oh, you know what? I do, because I Shazammed it.
I Shazammed it.
Because I was like, what?
Yeah, no, the my favorite one so far is Judas Decapitation, which is just really, like, it's awesome. It's kind of him taking all, like, the Viratrol and all, like, the hate he's gotten, like, on the internet the past couple of years and really just being, like, you know, get nice. Off me. And the best part, though, is they do, like, he references, like, their first album. Like, people say he'll never be a .. real man. Kind of like how Say Anything is .. is a real boy.
I was like,
Bemis, done it again.
Nice. Stood a Chance is the one I heard.
Okay, yeah. That one was a really good one. So what's interesting about it, too, is that it's no guitars throughout the whole record. Lots of strings and pianos and guest vocals by, like, a bunch of different people. Like, on every song, there's different guest vocalists. So you got Chris Conley, Matt Pryor, the Campesinos are on there, Jeremy Bolm, Touche Amore, you know, a couple of the Duprees are on there. It's like all over the place. Really nice. Really like it. And they're on tour. They're going to be in San Diego the Saturday of Comic-Con. So my thing is, like, is he going to be on a panel or what is he doing?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if he announced a sequel or something to Polarity or do, like, a signing.
Yeah.
It'd be nuts. Speaking of which, you're going to Comic-Con this year, right?
I will be there. This will be my 20th Comic-Con.
You've been going since you were, like, a real baby.
Yeah, I was, I think since I was, like, six or seven.
Yeah.
As we came out to California, and my dad started doing shows.
Yeah.
So I was there back in the day. It's so different now. It's
crazy. Yeah. It's become this huge thing in this past, like, 5-10 years. It's just, towards, like, it's kind of alienated a lot of the, like, the older nerds, like, to an extent, you know? But, like, things have to grow, otherwise, you know, who else is going to carry on the torch? And so sometimes things have to outgrow what you're used to, and, you know, just how it goes.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, do you have any, like, fun plans as far as, like, external Comic-Con events on your radar?
Well, I don't have a booth for the Hideout at Comic-Con. I just have my dad's having a booth there, and so I'll be helping him and maybe selling some stuff there, but I'm pretty much going to have fun and to put the word out and pass out 1,000 kajillion flyers.
Yeah.
And just to check out everything and network and do my boss lady stuff. So
boss lady. That's actually the title of a really good record by this band called Bad Cop, totally up your alley. So
nice.
Check that out. But no, there's a lot of external events really going on, like, this year. Like, they have, there's a beer fest, like a superhero-themed beer fest, like, happening.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's Aquabats are playing, like we said, Say Anything is playing. There's Wootstock. There's the huge party being put on by MTV on Thursday. Like, it's getting nuts, right? Even if you don't get a badge, like most people don't, you can still go down the weekend and party with other nerds and almost be like you're there. You know,
it's like the spring break for nerds.
Yeah. It's like a Garfunkel and Oates have, like, something going on, I think.
Really? That's awesome.
They have, like, a show going on that weekend. I forget if it's Friday or Saturday, but essentially, like, you could do stuff and just because of how poppin' it is. Parking might be a pain in the ass, but
I would say take the train. I'm going to take the train down.
You take the train?
Yeah.
I'm going to drive. Which sounds like a dumb idea, but the only reason why is because I have my mom's placard, and I'm not, before no one gets it twisted, I don't ever park in handicapped spots. I park in front of meters, because in the state of California, you don't have to pay a meter if you have a placard.
Oh, yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah. So I just was like, hey, Mom, I'm going to borrow your placard and not pay for parking.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you know. So
I'm still trying to weasel my way into Comic-Con. We'll see how that goes. I almost had an in this weekend, but it kind of fell through. So we'll see. I will be there in some way, shape, or form.
Well, that's the beauty of, even if you don't have a ticket, you can go and still have fun. And and even if you don't have the badge to get in, there's so much stuff going on.
Yeah, yes, there is. And before we wrap up this whole episode of the MimoCast for this week, being called the Mogul Cast, let's talk about new books. We're talking about Lumberjanes, and so let's talk about new books that are popping that you feel like the kids should be reading.
Well, the kids. I don't know if I feel like the kids should be reading.
Not the kids, but you know what
I mean. I really love Southern Bastards
right
now. It's on. It's two issues in, and it's really, really, really good. The art style is pretty interesting. It's very got a little realistic nastiness to it.
Okay.
But and even being from the South, I feel like it's kind of captured something that's not necessarily super stereotypical.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoy it. I can't wait to see what happens with it.
All right, so what issue are they on that? Was it just issue one or two?
Two. There's two issues out of Southern Bastards. It's the Jasons, Jason Aaron and Jason...
I don't know.
Oh, man.
LaRocca?
I totally tweeted them, and one of them tweeted
I know Jason Aaron is, right? Because he was for the longest time working on Wolverine and the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't he the one writing Original Sin right now?
Jason Aaron's doing a whole bunch of stuff right now, actually.
It's like Jason Aaron and, like, Charles Soule are, like once those two go, like, a bunch of new writers will be able to get work for the big companies.
Yeah. I'm really digging it. I really love it. Another good one, Bunker, I was really into. I don't know. It's getting a little bit weird.
Like Bunker, like the DC character? Or?
No. Bunker is is a new title that's out right now. They're on issue 5, I believe.
So maybe wait for trade for that one?
Well, I have all the issues here.
Okay, there you go.
I might be out of number ones, but I can check on that for you. But it's... Bunker is really good. It's very weird and deep and dark and kind of got a lot of different feels to it. It's got all the feels. Yeah.
Like, speaking of feels, Fault in Our Stars came out this weekend.
Oh.
Dude, that is like that is the movie, like, that it should just be called Feels, the movie, you know? And I might just watch it later today and cry and then feel really bad for like 8 hours. No, because everyone who I've talked to has seen it is like, he's so bad. No, and so we're going to wrap things up. I'm going to wander around the store a little bit and shop, because I have yet to do any comic book shopping this week. But thank you for being on this episode.
Jason Latour. Jason Aaron, Jason Latour, Southern Bastards, check it out.
Okay.
At Comic Book Hideout.
Yes.
I had to get
another plug in. And what address is that on?
215 West Commonwealth in Fullerton, California.
Next to the police station.
Right next to the police station.
All right, so I'm going to do some shopping. Mike couldn't be here today, unfortunately. He's a little under the weather. But he'll be back next week to talk a lot about the Dungeons & Dragons live stream event they had the other day. And, all right, bye, guys.
Bye.